So here we go. We're going into the second section. So now we've been through five, possible propositions. Now we're getting to the second set, wisdom. And hang on, we're going to go fast. So insight into the true nature of things, someone who has insight into the true nature of things and the ability to apply knowledge to life. So the difference between knowledge and wisdom is that wisdom is the application of truth. And so they have insight into, and it has to do with the context that they bring insight into the context and application of truth into the context in a way that unlocks it and unfolds it. The gift of knowledge has to do more with, we'll get to that in a minute, but this has to do with the application of truth to life. So good at asking the why questions. Intuitively arriving at solutions for complicated problems. So someone with a gift of knowledge will apply data, and someone with a gift of wisdom often has intuitive insights and ways of turning things in a different way than other people would have guessed. They're great at problem solving and able to keep perspective on the whole and balance lots of different data and perspectives, find a way when other people can't, and kind of see the big picture are typically principles that have broad application. And wisdom is very practical. They have insight into what works. And I'll be telling you stories along the way. I have a good friend. His name is Ben. I work with him closely. And often I'm in a setting where I'm kind of pressing towards the goal. I have more of that apostolic, let's open new territory, let's get into these places. And then I told you about my coworker, Mel, who's very in tune with people. And often he and I get arguing. Now we're really good friends, so we argue lovingly, but I'll see it one way and Mel will see it in another way, and we just go back and forth. And if Ben's a part of that group, if we turn to Ben and we say, "Ben, what do you think?" Ben will say some things that will take both of our insights and put them together, and it's like the third solution. Like I have one solution, Mel has another one. Ben talks, and Mel and I both look at each other and go, "Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was right." He has the ability to see things other people don't see, and bring insights, and things where we're kind of locked up. He brings this wise perspective that it's just amazing. So I'm so people have the gift of wisdom. You got to be thankful for them. They're amazing. Knowledge, it's understanding. Knowing, and someone's able to remember and organize large amounts of information and enjoys using that knowledge in the service of others. So, or some people who are more third wave would say that this is supernatural knowledge. So some would say that this is more of a natural gift. Others would say it's supernatural knowledge about a person or situation. And this is here's some characteristics. They know the answers, they remember things. Enjoy being a resource to others, interesting in knowing things, even if they have no application. Enjoy passing things on. It's motivated to fill in holes for others. I have a brother who has a gift of knowledge. And there's almost, he just gathers information about everything. And if you want to know something about anything, like if my car is breaking down, or if I want to travel someplace, or I'm wondering how to get insurance for rental cars, or he just collects answers and he loves using them to help you. So I love talking to my brother Josh because whenever I need to know anything about anything, in fact, that we he was it was like that even when he was a kid, when we'd lose something around the house, we'd always ask Josh, my brother, because he always knew. He would just would observe everything and file it away, and he loved using his mastery of information to serve others, help us find things around the house. I mean, he was amazing. Faith, being sure of what we hope for, confident of what we do not see, a special ability to trust God and ask him for things that only he can do. Oh, this is just such an amazing gift. I don't know if you've been around people with this particular gift, but they're so inspiring and helpful, and even when circumstances don't support that conclusion, And so I don't know, people might, by the way, my dad had the gift of faith. A friend of, here's some characteristics, has the ability to take risks and get on a limb based on their confidence in God's faithfulness. I have a friend named Flavio. He's Romanian, and his church had a vision for planting other churches, and they didn't know how to do it. And he says, well, my youth group can do it. And he just believed that his young people would be able to plant churches. And so they started planting churches in all these villages, and his youth group planted 14 churches. And when I think about that, I think, how was he able to believe God for that and infuse that faith into the people he was leading? Well, some people just have that ability to see what God wants to do and believe it and get out on a limb. They could see with the eyes of faith. They could picture what God would do as if he's already done it. And helps. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about this. It's about laying hold of something to support, rendering assistance, take place of. And someone who gets great joy out of investing his energies to make others successful. He strengthens or assists. Now, the difference between the gift of helps and the gift of service is helps is always oriented towards people. They like helping people. And this, I have a friend who has this gift. His name is Jim, and I've known him for 30 years. And I'm still kind of amazed and in awe about that gift. By the way, I'm in Prague right now. I'm going to be coming home to my house tomorrow. And Jim's going to pick us up at the train station and drive a half an hour and then drive back. And also he's cooked up a pot of food for my wife and I when we get home. I've been traveling for a while, and he called us up and says, "Do you need someone to pick you up at the train station? Do you need some food when you get there?" And I tell you, it's often hard to receive that because I just feel like, really? By the way, I don't have this gift, so it's hard for me to picture someone enjoying this. But he'll say, "David, it is a joy to serve you. It means so much to me to be able to serve and to help," because he knows when he stands in that gap that it makes a difference for us. I mean, he's just amazing at that. When he does it, I actually feel the touch of God. I feel the power of the Spirit. I'm strengthened in a way that goes beyond his stew or his the time in the car refreshes me, encourages me. This is just an amazing gift. Very in tune with needs, drop everything to help, measures the value of the work by how it aids others, likes working off the agendas of others if they feel they can fill in a hole that enables them to be successful. This is just in contrast to the gift of service, they like to be directly aiding a person rather than just doing needed work. An amazing, amazing gift, so needed in the body of Christ. Leadership. The one taking the lead, to be the head of, rule, direct. And Romans 12, they're challenged to lead diligently. So they're challenged to keep going and not give up and to be thorough in the way that they lead. Someone who has a special ability to coordinate and direct the work of others in a way that leads to harmony and productivity. Here's some characteristics. Understand the big picture, priorities, derives great pleasure from seeing people succeed under their care, and can drive satisfaction from the accomplishments of others. They're commanded to lead by example, not lord it over the flock, which that's really, really key, and enjoys being responsible and in charge. Great gift. And by the way, people who have this gift, if they're in a room, everyone tends to look at them and say, "Hey, what should we do next?" They just kind of rise to the top. They like shouldering responsibility, and they're just really good at it. And when they're leading, everything works so much better. So they're a great gift to the body of Christ. Administration. You may wonder, what's the difference between leadership and administration? Well, this comes from the word to steer or pilot as on a ship. So it has to do with how do you, the captain can maybe say, We're going towards here, but the pilot actually gets you there, is able to make the course corrections so that you can reach your destination. And this is someone who can organize details and logistics in a particularly effective way and enjoys using these gifts in service of the body. By the way, Dana is serving us in this way on this webinar. She's steering. She's helping us get to our destination and taking care of the details and logistics in a really effective way that is making this all work. Characteristics, understanding how things fit together, breaking a big project in manageable steps. Here's some other things. You can look at those as we go. We have someone on our team. Her name is Martina, and she has a gift of administration. Oh, my. What a blessing that is. So many things would fall apart if it wasn't for her. She's able to think ahead, anticipate problems. She's able to, we'll do a conference with almost 400 people, and she'll get everyone into their rooms and the bills paid for it and this and that done. And also, we all feel so blessed. In fact, what's interesting is whenever anybody at a conference thanks people, if they ever thank Martina, it's like the room gives her a standing ovation because people are so blessed by the way she makes everything work and makes everything work in a way that blesses other people. Just fantastic gift. What a blessing that is to the body. She enjoys shouldering responsibility, helping a group of people reach their goal. Here's another one. This is service and someone who's particularly sensitive to the needs of people around them and effective at doing behind the scenes things that types of things to minister to them. So here's some characteristics. They often enjoy working with their hands. They don't aspire to great recognition or roles with great prestige or importance. They're motivated by filling in the holes, plugging the gaps. They're able to do the mundane, repetitive, or behind the scenes tasks with joy and to the glory of God. And by the way, people with the gift of service, the church would often grind to a halt without their work. Yet their work is not obvious to all, and they don't need it to be obvious. They like doing the things that make sure other people that stuff gets done. We have several people with the gift of service on our team, and they're just amazing. And what they can do in the background, and how that serves the body of Christ, just fantastic. Giving, contributing to the needs of others, they should do it generously. Someone who's in tune and motivated by the needs of others and has great joy in meeting them. And here's some characteristics. God often entrusts them with resources. They often live way below their means so they can give, love to meet others' needs, usually in a quiet way, and has a clear vision for how God uses concrete resources such as finance or material goods to accomplish spiritual things. And by the way, I told you my dad had an apostolic gift. He had a teaching gift, but it was crazy. As a missionary, he had the gift of giving, which is kind of funny that a missionary would have the gift of giving. But shortly before he died, he said, Dave, I think that I've given away $1 million in my lifetime. Now, he was a poor missionary, but when his parents died, he inherited some funds. And he invested them very wisely and gave away almost all the profits for them. And he lived very frugally. He lived below his means. He'd have an old car and wouldn't go out to eat as much. But he loved saving money so that he could give to other people. And at his funeral, I heard so many stories of people saying, I was in this situation and your dad made it possible for me to get a car. Or your dad helped us with our first house, or we had health problems and your dad gave towards that. And all of that, I didn't know. All the giving that he gave, just really incredible. Exhortation. This is come alongside, joining a person where they're at and then helping them move forward. This, I told you, my wife has this. And this is like teaching on the go. You can talk to them about a problem you have, and they come alongside you and then can speak words that allow you to move forward. And my wife is just incredible at this. She serves me in this too. So when I'm kind of stuck, I'll say, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this? And she just kind of opens her mouth and and we're off to the races here. The great problem solving ability, gift of motivating people, drawn to join people in their problems because they can picture a way out. And you leave a conversation with this person motivated with a clear perspective on the future, able to apply God's truth to specific life situations, and always very practical. Good at getting people turned around and moved again. Mercy, the outward manifestation of pity, recognizing a need and assumes that resources are adequate to meet that need or available. Someone who has a special way to feel deeply with other people by joining them in their pain and deeply encouraging and ministering to them. They have a really soft heart. They're able to read what's going on below the surface and motivated in entering into that with them. Easily moved to tears. Drawn to the downcast, rejected, broken, hungry. Especially effective at communicating sympathy to that other person. And is commanded in Romans to show their mercy cheerfully, probably because of the tendency to become burdened with the needs of others. And I know a girl named Ivana who has this gift. And, you know, if ever you're suffering and you tell her that, it's like her heart goes out to you. You can tell that she's feeling with you, and her feeling with you somehow lifts you up. I remember one time I asked her about a conversation she had with someone who was hurting. And I said, "What did you tell them?" And she said, "I didn't tell them anything. I just sat and cried with them." Wow, it's just amazing. But I'm sure that that person felt the presence and work of Jesus just because of her ability to join them and feel with them and show compassion and show God's heart to them as she was with them. Hospitality, it's literally the love of strangers. One is particularly effective at ministering to others through the use of their home and family by using the tools of their home. They're able to make people feel at home, part of the family, welcomed. Enjoy having people around, providing for their basic needs. It's particularly sensitive to those who are alone and missing family. Loves bringing food to someone who's ill, having a new family over at church. My mom had the incredible gift of hospitality. I can remember sometimes growing up for months at a time, I wouldn't sleep in my bed. I would sleep on the couch or in the living room because we always had people at our house and she'd give away my bed. And we would always so often have people around our table. In fact, mom on Sunday morning would cook twice as much food and go to church and look for someone new at church and invite them over for lunch. So she would cook the food before she knew who she was going to invite over. And when she passed away this last year, there was so much food in so many places in the house. Also, when I would come home and visit, she a week before would say, what can I cook for you? What do you want to eat? Because she had so much joy in making home a place that care out of home. And also when she passed away, so many testimonies of how her hospitality gift had ministered to others through the years. Willing to sacrifice, is commanded to offer hospitality without grumbling. So discernment, some people say discerning the weather, discerning the heart, look below the surface. And by the way, my wife has this one too. So there's some characteristics. By the way, I'm going through this really fast, but this will be in your notes. Miracles, someone who has a special ability to be a channel of God's power and seeing the miraculous happen. And the miracles they've done are clearly supernatural. So that's one of the things demonstrating the power of God. Healing, someone who has a supernatural ability to instantly restore health to someone's mind or body through the power of God. So what's clear in scripture is that that was instantaneous. And if it's like over months of time, well, that's, you're a doctor, but this was that gift that we see in scripture was instantaneous healing. And just because a person has this gift does not mean he will heal everyone. See 2 Timothy 4:20, where Paul left Trophimus sick and Miletus. It's under the control of the Holy Spirit and used according to his will. And the biblical examples of this gift show an immediate healing. It's obviously supernatural in character. Someone has the ability to speak in tongues and other tongues without learning them for the edification of the body. So we've got some, it's not babbling. It is a language with real meaning and should be used fittingly in an orderly way. And in the church, two or three at the most should speak at a time someone wants to interpret. But there is It can be used in prayer. Interpretation, someone has the ability to translate. There we go. And then we also have these gifts of celibacy, prayer, and suffering. So I'm not going to go more into those because it's because you can look at that. I want to go into a different section here. And there's also suffering.